please recite one surah al-Fatiha for Marhum Habib Hussain, Naima Kaitab, and Abdul Hussain Habib. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ونادى أصحاب النار أصحاب الجنة ونادى أصحاب النار أصحاب الجنة أن أفيضوا علينا من الماء أو مما رزقكم الله قالوا إن الله حرمهما على الكافرين الذين اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا فاليوم ننساهم كما نسوا لقاء يومهم هذا وَمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ صلوات Our discussion was going on around this ayat of the Holy Quran on that Thursday when we left, and we already talked about the fact that what exactly is meant in the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says afidhu alayna min al-ma'i aw mimma razaqakum Allah. This is about the conversation that is going to take place between the people of the hellfire and the people of the heaven after they both get settled on the day of judgment in their places. And we find that the people of the hellfire are asking in this conversation narrated in the Holy Quran from the people of the heaven, the people of Jahannam are asking from the people of Jannat that pour upon us, in other words, give us something from what Allah has given you. And that's where the conversation was, that what exactly they are asking, because demand of a person depends on his ma'rifat. You can only demand in accordance to what your level of ma'rifat is. Because whatever you have the ma'rifat of, that defines your borders and limits. That's where you would think. You cannot think beyond those lines because you don't have the ma'rifat beyond that. So whatever our talab, our demands are always in accordance to our level of ma'rifat. So that's where the discussion is, because the level of ma'rifat of the people of the hell back then in the life of dunya was not the ma'arif, the high level teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, so that they would demand the same on the Day of Judgment. No, their level of ma'arifat is nothing. They cannot focus on anything more than al-ajwafan. What we say in Arabic, in ilm al-akhlaq, we say al-ajwafan, the two middle things. The two middle things means the stomach and the private parts. That's the entire focus of the life of a person who belongs to Jahannam. This is the sign. The sign of the people of the hell is that their focus of life is al-ajwafan, the two middle things of the human body. They can't focus anything beyond that. All their services, efforts of life are focused on those two. So when a person is of that sort, what else he's going to ask? He can't think beyond that. He can't focus beyond that. Of course he's going to ask, something with which he wants to fill up his stomach there. So water and food, that's what our scholars have said in the tafsir. That's what they are asking the people of the heaven, to give us some water and food. Certainly not all those blessings which they enjoy. All the blessings which the people of the heaven enjoy, the people of hell have no access to even know about, to discover about those blessings at all. They have zero access to anything that belongs to their Jannah. When they don't know, how would they ask? Just like the people of the Jannah have no access. They have zero access to what belongs to the upper Jannah, the higher Jannah. You know, I already told you in the previous lesson, we believe in two Jannahs as a minimum, you know. And that higher Jannah is the Jannatun Aqliya, the intellectual paradise, which belongs to those of the people who used to worship Allah for the sake of not for the sake of the scare of the hell, or for the sake of the greed of the blessings of the paradise, but for the sake of his love, but for the sake of the fact that they consider Allah to be deserving of being worshipped. So they don't care about the blessings of the hell, of the heaven, or the punishments of the hell. So they deserve to go to the intellectual paradise, where they will receive the blessings related to the human intellect, which the regular people in the paradise have no idea and have no access to those blessings, or whatever is there they don't even know of. So certainly none of those two things are thinkable about the people of heaven, because they don't know. They don't know about that. Now, the people of the heaven will reply back to the people of the hell. This conversation is mentioned in the Holy Quran, that قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ, that means the people of the Jannah, are going to say, in other words, the people of the Jannah will say to the people of the hell, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Certainly, Allah has made those two haram on the kafirs. Water and food. That's what they were asking. Because there's no water and food to drink in the hell. There's no water or food in the entire Maidan al-Mahshar. There's no drive-through restaurant there that we can buy when we get hungry, because the Day of Judgment is such a long day, spanning on 50,000 years, equal to this, to the calculations of this world. So you can imagine 50,000 years of this life equal to a day in that abode. So, and there's no water and food. If you want to have water and food, which we do want water and food, certainly. If we want water and food, then we need to arrange water and food right now and right from here. If we have arranged the water and food with our good beliefs and good actions, we will be finding what can fill up our stomach in a nice way, so that we can never ever get thirsty after the drink of Kawthar. Kawthar is a special fountain belonging to Rasulullah. Whenever a person, a mu'min, drinks from that fountain, he never gets thirsty ever for eternity. So, but we need to become mustahab and deserving to get that drink from Kawthar right now with our beliefs and actions. So they reply back in Allah, حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah has made those two haram on the kafirin. Now, Now that the response is there from the people of Jannat to the people of Jahannam, next step for the people of the hell is suicide. There is no possibility, there is no imkan of suicide in the hell, in the Yawm al Qiyamah, in the Alam al Tajarrud. There is no room for suicide. It's not like this world. Even in this world, Islam says suicide is haram, it's forbidden. So in that world, there's no way of suicide because of the fact that the death itself is a creature of Allah and Allah is going to kill death itself. The ayat of Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us about Al-Faza'ul Akbar. And that Al-Faza'ul Akbar, the great scare, has been interpreted in the tafsir in several ways. And one of those several aqwal in tafsir is that Al-Faza'ul Akbar is related to that scare that Allah will bring death in the form of a sheep or a lamb, an animal, and death will be killed after the people of the heaven and the people of hell will settle in those places. Death will be brought in the form of an animal and will be killed by Allah. So when the death itself, moth itself will be killed, there is no moth remaining. When there is no moth remaining, of course it makes sense that everything is now onwards, everything is khulud, eternal, to khalid, khalidina fiha, staying there forever. It makes perfect sense because death is no longer there. There is no khulud in this life, there is no eternity because death is still alive. Death is not killed by Allah. So people, and we don't have two deaths, لا يذوقون فيها فيها الموت إلا الموتة الأولى. They won't taste inside it the death except the first death. First death we have already tasted back then. Isn't that right? We all will die and then we will reach the day of judgment. There is no second death. There is one life and one death. So now the second option of suicide for the people of the Jahannam is no longer an option because death is already killed by Allah. Let's go to the third option. Third option for them is that, okay, now they will turn to the Malik. Malik is the guardian angel of the hell. And they will ask Malik that, Ya Malik, liyaqdi alayna rabbuka. Your Lord should kill us, should give us death. And Malik is an angel. Malik doesn't do like any other angel, doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything, doesn't, perform anything except what he is commanded by Allah. And that's how the angels are. Angels are not like the humans. They are made of nur, all they do is obedience. Nothing but the obedience. So whatever they say, whatever they do is what Allah commands. So Malik can do nothing except what Allah commands. He's an angel. So Malik will reply back to the people of the hell, Innakum makithun. By in your bemani. Certainly you are staying here. In other words. So now the third option of turning to Malik is also not working for them. So Malik replies back to them, you're going to stay here, in other words. So now Malik is also not listening to them. The fourth option, the last option. The fourth option for the people of Jahannam, they will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and directly say to Him, Rabbana akhrijna minha. This is from Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse number 107 and 108. People of the hell will talk to Allah and say, Rabbana akhrijna minha, O our Lord, take us out of it. Fa in udna fa inna zalimun. If we return back, if we do the same business as usual, then we are zalim. That means so basically they are asking another muhlat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, there is no mohlat given to anybody. Mohlat is in the time of our lifetime, isn't that right? Whatever we can do, Tawbah, Allah is Rahman and Rahim. He gives chances and chances and chances and chances. Still a person is alive. Till the last moment of our death, as long as the hijab and curtain is not removed and we don't start seeing the Malakul Maut, still we have the margin. So, but after death, there is no margin remaining. There is no muhlat for anybody. So Allah will reply back, which is in Surah Al-Mu'mineen, verse number 108. قَالَ اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. And اِخْسَأُوا is something that we, in Arabic, we say to dogs only. This is a dog-specific word. You can't use it for a human or a bird or for anything else. It's a word in Arabic which is only for dogs. Now, my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi, hafazahullah, was saying that Quran is a book of etiquettes and adab and ihtiram, and a book of a nice, honorable, respectable, mu'addab, nice book of etiquettes. Quran is not a book of abusive languages. That's not what Quran is all about. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says اِخْسَأُوا فِيهَا, it's not an abusive word that Allah is using, which becomes munafi, becomes against the status of Quran, which is a very respectable and honorable book without any abusive language used in that. So don't think this word اِخْسَأُوا is an abusive word used in Quran. Why? Because when a word becomes abusive, if you call a snake to be a snake, this is not insult of a snake, this is haqiqat, that's a reality. And if the snake can understand, he's not going to feel bad, because he is a snake. It is mutabiq with haqiqat. But if you call a human being to be a snake, this is abusive. This is insult of that human, because he is not a snake. This is not mutabiq to the haqiqat. The haqiqat is something otherwise. So he is a human and somebody calls him a snake. This is an ihanat, an insult. So abuse, it becomes abusive when you are talking something which is non-haqiqat. It is not a reality. But if you are talking about a reality, it's not called abusive language. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word ikhsa'u, which is a dog-specific word, it means that the people of Jahannam are, their haqiqat of their ruh is nothing but dog. Because Quran is a book of honor and respect. Remember in the incident of Khandaq, Ma'rakatul Ahzab, when this Amr ibn Abdawud, he came and he crossed the Khandaq and he started to talk bad and insult the Holy Prophet openly in front of all those Ashab who were sitting there with the Prophet. Were there with the Prophet. And he started to insult the Holy, use abusive language, with arrogance. And the Prophet was asking his Ashab, you know, the statement in the hadith is that man lehad al kalb. Who is for this dog? Again, the Holy Prophet is Rasul of Allah. Umma Muhammadun illa Rasul. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He is nothing but a messenger. He says what Allah says. He says what Allah wants. He says what Allah reveals upon him, and whatever Allah wishes and whatever Allah wants and whatever Allah likes. He doesn't say anything out of his own person. وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He doesn't say anything out of his desires. So it's not the matter. When the Prophet is calling him as kalb, that means that the haqiqat and reality of Amr ibn Abdawud was nothing but kalb. Because Prophet doesn't use abusive language. Just like the Holy Quran does not use abusive language. And it becomes an abuse when you say something which is against the haqiqat. But if you call a snake to be a snake, it's mutabiq of bid haqiqat, it's not an abusive word. So the Quran says, قَالَ اَخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. So this is a word which is said to dogs only. Go away in the hell, in other words, and don't talk to me. And that's what is going to happen. Now, that's what the behavior of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the kafirin. Now, who are the kafirin? It's very important for us to understand who are kafirin in the dictionary of Quran. Kafirin are very clearly, elaborately mentioned. Now, let's go back to the verse of Holy Quran. Let me read the verse again. Please pay attention. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. And the people of the hell will call on the people of the heaven to give us from water and or from what Allah has given you. They will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Certainly Allah has made those two haram on the kafirin. Now who are the kafirin? Let's go to the next verse. الَّذِينَ those الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. That's where we understand who the kafirin are. Kafirin are those people who have taken their religion as lahw and la'ib, and I will explain those two terms. وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, and the life of dunya has deceived them. وَفَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ, so today we are going to forget them. كَمَا نَسُوا, the way they forgot. لِقَاءَ يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا, this meeting of this day. The way they forgot meeting of this day, similarly we are going to forget them. وَمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. So, kafirin, okay, here is the process. It starts from makruh first. Step number one of kufr, performing the makruh things of Islam. Step number two of kufr, performing the ma'siyatun saghira, gunahe saghira, smaller sin. Step number three of kufr, performing the ma'siyatun kabira, bigger sin. Step number four of becoming kafir, doing israr, al-israru ala dham, insisting on the sin, repeating the sin. Step number four of kufr. Okay, what happens after israr? Israr of the kufr takes them to step number five, which is kufr itself. So, the ayat of Quran has said that الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَحْوًا وَلَّعِبًا. These are beautiful terminologies of Quran. Lahw, defined by Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Tabatabai, rahmatullah alayh, Sahib Tafsir al-Mizan, that lahw, in English we call it diversion. Lahw means diversion. Diversion from what? Allama Tabatabai says, anything that diverts you away from the remembrance and zikr and yad of Allah. In Farsi we say yad, yad-e khudawan, zikr, remembrance. Anything that diverts you away from Allah's remembrance is called lahw in Arabic. You know, so, and in the tafsir, that's what he has said in the tafsir. And la'ib, in English, we translate it like play and amusement. Well, plays are not haram in Islam, but anything more than i'tidal, more than the limits of i'tidal, is problematic in Islam. So la'ib is play. So kuffar, kafirin are those people, الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَحْوًا وَلَعِبًا. Those who have lahavra dine khudushun qarar da dan. The dineshun juz lahav chihinis. Their religion is nothing but diversion from Allah. Doing things that keep them away from remembering Allah and doing nothing that makes them remember Allah. That's the first component of the definition of a kafir. A kafir is a person who is engaged in things and actions that diverts him away from remembering his Creator and engages himself in things which does not make him remember Allah. That's why we call him that he is engaged in lahav. In the signs of imamat, when you turn to the Shia religion, our belief system, we find that the Nabi and the Imam never engages in lahav and la'ib. We find even that in the childhood, our A'imma alayhimu salatu wasalam never used to play. Although, like I said, that in the hadd al-i'tidal, within the limits of i'tidal, even play is jaiz, no haram. But they have the highest standards set in their character. Remember the story of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, when he was a child and Mamun al-Rashid was crossing by with his people, and there was other children standing in the alley and playing, and Imam Jawad alayhi salam was standing there with other children, but Imam was not playing. And when Mamun al-Rashid with all his people came into that alley, the kids ran away, but Imam Jawad alayhi salam didn't run away. He's standing. Mamun Rashid did not recognize who this boy is. And he asked Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam that when all the children ran away from me, why didn't you run away? And Imam Jawad alayhi salam replied that the path is wide enough for you to pass. That means, in other words, I'm not blocking your way. And I did not commit any jurm, any crime to be afraid. So he was shocked with that type of answer from a boy, young child, and he said, would you introduce yourself? And that's where Imam alayhi salam introduced himself. So our imams, the bottom line, they never play, even in the childhood. In the story of Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam, when Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam was a young boy, and one of the ashab came to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and asked, who is the imam after you? And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam replied that, in other words, that the imam after me is the one who doesn't do la yalhu wa la yal'ab, the one who doesn't engage in lahab and la'ib, doesn't engage in any in diversion or play. When Imam said this statement, Imam Sadiq said this statement, at the same time, soon after that, we find that Imam al-Qadim, who was a young boy, he entered into the house and he had a small lamb, sheep, with him. And he was saying to the sheep, do the sajda. So he was, even to the, with the sheep in his childhood, he is asking to do something good and ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they never engage in anything. And when Imam alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq heard that statement, he said, Bi abi man la yalhu wa la yal'ab. May my father be sacrificed on the one who doesn't do lahav and la'ib. So our imams never engage in lahav and la'ib, even in their childhood. So the first sign of a kafir is الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. That means kafir, lahvara deen khud qarar dade. Kafir is somebody who makes lahv as his religion. That's his religion. To be engaged in things, in all those haram music and all that haram things and films and all those haram things which keep us away and make us ghafil from the zikr and yad and remembrance of Allah. Anything and everything. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Remember what the Quran has said, have you seen the one who has taken his desire, his Lord as his desire? That means his desires, he considered his desire to be his ilah. He's worshipping his desires. whatever we follow and obey is actually our Lord. So kafir considers love to be his religion. Okay, step number one, الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا. Now, diversion comes away from Allah, i'rad, keeping away from Allah. Step number two, وَاللَّعِبًا, engages in the play, engages in things which are, you know, la'ib has been defined by Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi in the tafsir as har anche ke ghayati juz khayal na dashte bashat, yani ghayat is khayali bashat, everything whose hadaf and ghayat is related to takhayyul. So it's nothing to do with the haqa'iq, it's nothing to do with the real world. That's exactly what la'ib and plays are. All the plays you find, their ghayat and hadaf is not real. It's all imaginary. The goals of plays and amusements are all imaginary goals. And practically, in the real life, you don't achieve nothing out of it. That's how the la'ib are. So they consider their religion to be lahab and la'ib. Step number three of becoming a kafir, وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. The life of dunya deceives them. Dunya is not a bad thing. The problem is that misuse of the life of dunya, getting attached to its temporary belongings, and getting attached to the temporary belongings causes us to fall in the harams. Not getting attached to the temporary belongings, it means you are not for the sake of dunya. You think you are not created for this dunya. You think you are created for Allah. So you will work for akhirat, not for this dunya. You are not running after it. And when you don't run after it, the dunya will come after you. That's the way it goes. Because a hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Ad-dunya taghurru wa taghurru wa tamurru." Dunya deceives and harms and passes by. So that's the nature, and also in the hadith we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah awha ila dunya, the hadith says Allah sent his wahi to dunya, and that at'ibi man khadamaki, that means exhaust the one who serves you. Anybody who runs after dunya, Allah has already sent his wahi to this dunya. It's a done deal. Dunya is part of alam al-takween. There is no disobedience in alam al-takween. They're not part of the alam al-tashri', world of legislature. We humans and jinns, we are the only two things which are part of alam al-tashri'. And we have the tamarrud and tughyan and rebellion and baghawat against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobedience and ma'siyat. Ma'siyat and sins are part of alam al-tashri', in part of some humans and jinns only. All the rest of the creatures, they have nothing to do with ma'siyat and sins. They are part of alam al-tashri', alam al-takween. So when Allah has sent this wahi, so it's something already done. So at'ibi man khadamaki, exhaust the one who serves you. Anybody who wants to do the khidmat of dunya, run after this dunya, he will get exhausted. Dunya will exhaust that type of person. Wa ikhdini man khadamani. And Allah said, whoever serves me, whoever performs my khidmat, you serve him. So dunya will be in the khidmat of the person who is in the khidmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dunya will come after you if you don't go after dunya and get away from it. So غَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, the life of dunya has deceived them. They were the people who were running after dunya. Okay, what happens? Step number one, they consider lahab to be their religion. Step number two, they take their la'ib to be their religion. Step number three, dunya deceives them. Step number four of becoming a kafir, they forget qiyamah. They forget Yawm al-Ma'ad. They forget the Day of Judgment. That's the stage number four. When dunya deceives a person, the end result, he forgets the Yom al-Qiyamah. Okay. What happens if somebody forgets Yom al-Qiyamah? Stage number five, he becomes a kafir. Because forgetting the Day of Judgment leads you towards kufr. So, my teacher has said that qismat muhim dar saadat jarayan qiyamat ast. Wallah, Allah wa khaliq ra ke hame qabool dashtan o daran. The main thing of becoming saadatmand and spiritually and eternally successful is to believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah. That's the main thing of becoming sa'id. Otherwise, if you believe in Tawheed, that's not enough. Because Allah, everybody accepts Allah. لَإِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ, if you ask them who create, لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ, the ayah of the Quran at the end says, they will certainly say Allah. So even the kafir people, if you talk to them, they will accept that Allah is the creator. So Allah is not controversial. Khaliqiyat of Allah being the creator is not controversial. They can call him whatever name. They can call him Mother Nature. They can call him the supreme power. Whatever name they can assign. Name is not the issue. But they accept there is a creator. There has to be a creator, a beginner, who starts everything. So Allah and Khaliqiyat of Allah is never controversial, was never controversial, even among the kuffar. What was controversial among the kuffar is the rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rububiyat means that we consider Allah to be our Rabb and Lord. What does it mean? What is the difference between accepting Allah to be Rabb and accepting Allah to be the Khaliq? The difference is that if you accept Allah to be the Khaliq, you don't feel Khaliq only without accepting Him as Rabb. You don't feel to be obliged to follow the do's and do nots of Allah's Sharia. Not necessarily. But if you consider Allah to be Allah and Khaliq plus Rabbul Alameen, then the Rububiyat means when you consider someone to be your Rabb and Lord, then you are obliged to follow His do's and do nots. That's where the controversy was with the mushrikeen of Makkah and with the kuffar was and still is. That's where the controversy was. They don't want to live up their, leave their lifestyle, their way of living. Isn't that right? Because if you accept Him to be Rabb, then you have to give up your lifestyle and accept the do's and do nots from Him. This is not acceptable for the kuffar. So the actual sign of sa'adat and spiritual and eternal success is accepting Allah to be the Rabb. When you accept Allah to be the Rabb, you will accept the do's and do nots from your Lord, not from your own desires. Your lifestyle will not be according to what you want, but actually according to what your Lord wants from you, for you. And then when you will adjust that, then that means you believe in the Yawm al-Qiyamah, because if you don't adjust with the do's and do nots of Allah, you, in the Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will be a punishment. When there is a punishment, you get scared and you adjust your behavior. So the sa'adat of a person depends on the belief of Yawm al-Qiyamah. That's where we will hold ourselves accountable. If there is no accountability, you can never make sure the law is upheld by the majority of the people. Except those precious few people who love, who perform the ibadat for the sake of hub and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether there was no punishment and no jannat and no jahannam, they will still obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are very few and very precious people. So the key to the sa'adat is the belief in the rububiyat of Allah, not only the tawheed and khaliqiyat. And the key to sa'adat and sa'adat mandi is the belief in Yawm al-Qiyamah. And if these two key beliefs are there, then we will take our do's and do nots from Allah. And of course, Allah sends His do's and do nots through the Rasul. We will believe in Risalat, and after Rasul will be Imamat, and the Wahi and Quran and all those things come naturally with it. Once you believe Allah to be your Rabb, and you believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah, everything else will come with it as a package. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضَلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. Those who misguide from the path of Allah, there's a severe torment, severe azab for them. Why? Bima nasu yawm al-hisab. So the reason we understand in the light of this verse of Holy Quran is that because they forgot the day of accountability. So that's the reason why that's how we understand the sa'adat depends on belief of Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the kuffar were ghafil about the existence of Yawm al-Qiyamah today. Haqa'iq of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the realities of Yawm al-Qiyamah are existing today. Yawm al-Qiyamah is not today, but the haqa'iq of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the realities of Yawm al-Qiyamah exist right now, which the kuffar were ghafil about that. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. Certainly you were in ghaflat about this, in other words. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِفَاءَكَ. So we have removed away from you your curtain. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. So your eyes became sharp. So on the Day of Judgment, what is going to happen, Allah is going to remove the curtain. When the curtain is removed, they will see the same haqa'it of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Jahannam and Jannat. And the azab, the haqa'iq of Yawm al-Qiyamah will be seen now by even the kuffar, which were there, but they didn't used to see, and that's why they will repent and reply back that, Ya waylana qad kunna fi ghaflatim min hadha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Qur'an and the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واقتل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one surah al-Fatiha for the following marhumin: Habib Hussein and Naima Kaitab and Abdul Hussein Habib.